Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
To the Full Sport Press podcast featuring hosts Jay Hove, Chef, Wheezy, and Coach Locke. Please enjoy the show.
Greetings and salutations. I would like to welcome everybody back and some of you for the first time to the Full Sport Press podcast, the premier sports podcast for the consummate sports fan. And this is your one-stop shop for all sports-related news and topics. I'm Jay Hove.
It's your boy, Big Jeff.
Wheezy in the building. Say what's up, Wheezy.
What's up, man? What y'all doing?
Coach Locke back in the building. Say, what's up, Cav?
What's good, fellas? Everybody all right?
Yeah, man. Trying to make it. Trying to make it, for sure. Yes, sir. Episode 319, the show about nothing but hot topics, volume 3, going through the hottest sports news of the past week.
FSP style.
Always FSP style.
Better damn know it.
And you better damn believe it, man. Let's kick it off. Best of the week, Jeff. What you got?
Man, best of the week, we kind of talked about it in pre-production, but this is FSP Madden League, man. It's a draft night was last night, you know. The Bills did okay. My Bills did okay. Hey,
Jeff, I don't mean to cut you off.
Okay, go ahead.
You did. You had a really good draft, dog.
But no, it was a good fun time. Seen a lot of people, GM worker, look a little shady in the light. You know, I'm not going to call them out. You know, had a lot of picks. They didn't have a plan going into the draft, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's when you trade up late. And you don't really put a plan together.
Yeah. Like, I knew I couldn't get what I wanted in the first round. I traded out of the first round. I knew I couldn't get what I wanted. But it came in other ways.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. This draft had me feeling like a for real GM. Because I'm looking like, because this guy's on my list. And this guy's on my list. I literally traded to get a cornerback of the future. Did not happen for me, man. Did not happen for me. So, not a fun time. Yeah, for sure. Jeff, you hell, man. But, hey, let me tell you, Jeff will slide you some dunks, man. Hey, nothing like that, dude. Wheezy, what you got, buddy?
My best of the week, I just found out that Sonic Man is bringing back the cake batter shake, and that's everything to me. Man, I pulled up the Sonic yesterday, and I seen that cake batter shake come across the thing, and I lost my mind.
I was on the phone with you.
I'm a milkshake connoisseur. This cake batter shake from Sonic.
Now you was the same person in our group text. In our group chat talking about people eating McDonald's shakes and Wendy's shakes and all that. With that, and then you kept it for Sonic.
Yeah. This is a limited edition shake.
As the workout guru of the FSP podcast, don't lose everything you've worked for with these shakes.
I bought medicine ball this week. I'm doing good.
Okay.
All right.
What you got, Coach?
Man, I got a former Boston Red Sox pitcher, David Price, man. He's giving every minor league player in the Los Angeles Dodgers farming system $1,000 out of his own pocket because the minor league season is going to be canceled. That's going to be roughly about 200 players. The last time they got paid was in May, and they were getting $400 a week. So it's not going to quite be that full 1,200 that they were getting, but it's going to be 1,000. It's better than nothing. And the other thing is David Price hasn't even pitched for the Dodgers yet. He hasn't even played in that system, and he's still doing this for their minor league. So
Yeah, man. Shout out to Vanderbilt's own David Price.
Hometown kid, too.
Okay. Yeah. Tennessee. My best of the week is quarterback speaking out, man. Joe Burrow, Carson Wentz, both speaking out on the killing of George Floyd. And I respect this because we wait on superstar quarterbacks to speak out and they never do. I'm just going to go ahead and say, man, personally, like, I know Luka Doncic isn't from the United States, but he's around the culture enough to see how much this can affect people. Of course, you need your Tom Brady's, Tiger Woods, sad to say. Until they speak out, it'll be a different situation. And just like Coach Locke's guy, D. Wade said, justice will not be served until those unaffected are as outraged as those who are. So shout out to Carson Wentz. Shout out to Joe Burrow. Shout out to Paige Buchers, the number one player, high school basketball, women's side. Man, it's dope seeing that. Man, we need more people like him.
For sure. Most definitely.
Worst of the week, man. What you got, Weezy?
Well, my worst of the week, it happened maybe about an hour ago. I was not able to buy, you know, a shoe that I have a bank account full of money for, and I was not able to get the shoe. And it makes no sense that you have a bank account full of money with two or three credit cards and you can't buy the shoe. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. I don't want to hear no stop, please. That's too much. I don't understand it. You have, you know, you work hard to get a shit ton of money and you can't buy the shoe. It's fucked up.
Let them know then, Weezy. My boy, yeah. Doubled down with it. Ooh. Two times.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Jeff, what you got?
I can't follow that. I was a little upset I didn't get the same pair of shoes this morning either, but sheesh. You won, Weezy. Nah, I ain't got nothing, Jay, today.
Of course, we know what's going on. We don't speak on that. You know, we've talked about that. It's a shame what's going on with that. That's by far my worst of the week. But for the sake of the show, kind of in the same realm, though, but when Amy Cooper called a cop on a black man for attacking her in the park, lying, straight up lying, saying that a black man is about to attack her in the park, she called 911, all because she was in the wrong. She was in a park in New York, in Central Park, walk with her dog, but the dog wasn't on a leash, and the area they were in is an area where people go to watch birds, and a black man was there watching the birds, and he saw her with her dog, and her dog is just roaming around. All he asked her to do was just respect the rules, and can you please put your dog on a leash? And she went off on a tangent and straight up lied, called the police, and said a black man was attacking her when he was nowhere near her.
Sure, it's a collective worst. My worst of the week, shout out to Pram. I know that he is listening. Took an L in the Realville Championship Super Bowl. Word to the wise, do not play a head-to-head game during a peak hour on EA servers, because in turn, it's Jeff. And I would laugh because Jeff was like, man, I can't throw the ball. I'm trying to hike the ball. I can't hike the ball. And I was like, man, he just needs to get internet service. No, no. It is the server. So there's peak hours. Me and Jeff play week one. Jeff, I would not be playing you at a peak hour at all, because that was the worst situation ever, man. People were lateraling balls. Man, I threw four picks. Man, like, and I'm trying to throw the ball. People wide open. I can't even throw the ball, man. So, yeah, shout out to Parham, our original Realville Madden champion, for sure, man. Was,
and you threw three of the four were bad picks, though.
Three of them were 100% not even my fault.
2021, Lock, we hopping in the Madden tournament, man. 2021
is about to start. They just did a draft for a week.
Did a draft last night. Man.
Well, 2022. 2022.
Good season and all, though, man, for sure, man. Stat of the week. Shout out to Bryce for this fine. NFL players receiving stats while over the age of 40 are sorted by receiving yards. Number three, Brett Favre, one reception for minus 2 yards. Tom Brady, one reception for minus 6 yards. And number one, can anybody guess?
Most receiving yards?
Yeah.
Jerry Rice?
100%. 161 receptions for 2,000 yards and 10 touchdowns over the age of 40. Shout out to Bryce for that fine. The GOAT. I always say he's the GOAT. and people don't really understand as to why. And I understand why, because he put a piece of chicken in a face mask.
Yep. It definitely knocked him back a few slots for sure.
100%.
It then had chicken all over his face with the grease. Yeah. It took a picture.
Yeah, he did. So on that note, we're just going to move right along. So make sure y'all check us out on iTunes, Facebook, IG, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Beyond Pod, YouTube, and of course the SoundCloud page to catch up on the full archive of episodes from FSP. How do you do that? Just search Full Sport Press Podcast. After you do that, make sure you go check out the On Deck TV Hip Hop Podcast with Animal Bound and Spike Lou. Every Wednesday, the latest issue is up, the 7th anniversary mailbag episode. Were you guys able to check that one out?
100%, man. Shout out to the guys. 7 years of doing anything is a huge, huge deal. Checked it out, man. Some really great questions. Some FSP. Wild questions too, some wild questions. Most definitely, man. Shout out to those guys, man. That's a huge deal. Speaking of a huge deal, Fresher Than Your Average Podcast, me and my dog Animal Brown, a self-help fashion podcast directly related to improving everyday fashion. We had an IG live show going through our favorite Jordan brand sneakers related to The Last Dance. You can check that out right now on the FTYA page. The entire episode is available directly for the culture. Where your kicks, man? Cop response.
Great show, man. Make sure y'all get AB some penicillin or something. Ooh. You know, he out here licking on shoes like Fat Joe, man. This ain't the time to be licking on shoes, man. Yeah, dead stocker. You know, this ain't the time.
that boy brought out 3 dead stocks. I said, ooh.
That's a good show, man. They was flexing last night. That was a flex show.
That was the only shoes I got, man.
Loaded dick,
Jack. Not the only shoes I got. And I don't got any other shoes.
My boy hit him with the flex, too. Oh, yeah, these come out tomorrow. And he's holding them.
Come out tomorrow. I had them for a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Had to pull a couple strings from them early.
Yeah.
But he got the major flex.
They got the OBOs, but, you know, they can get confused with the New York 10s. But just let you know, they got the, you know what I'm saying, just the back of them.
The flex about the whole the Jays though is saying he got them early when we're not going anywhere right now. So he still got them early, did not go anywhere. And he's not gonna wear them until like next year sometime.
Jeff, you got 10 good wrestling seconds.
Oh, there you
are. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I laughed so hard about that coach. I'm like, why'd he get them early? We're not going nowhere.
That's true.
But nah, 10 good wrestling. I'm ready to go, man.
Start the clock, man.
Oh, goodness. All right, so somehow, well, the WWE has figured out how to have fans in the crowd.
Wow.
Yeah. So they took a page from the AEW, and what they're doing is wrestlers who are not in the current match and are just in the building, because WWE is essential workers in Florida, are the crowd now. So to give people who are missing the crowd aspect of chance and, you know, just being interactive, now you have other wrestlers and developmental wrestlers and people who are in the building as, you know, working out or whatever, are now considered the crowd. So that's one way they worked around it. And it's definitely helped with the experience by taking closer camera angles and camera shots. It feels like it's an actual people. Now, mind you, they're not in the arenas and 30,000-seat arenas anymore. They're in their performing arts center. So it's like, At a basketball court, a ring in a basketball court. So it's 10, 20 people there, but it looks like way more how they shoot. So that's a good idea. When we talked about this before, we have a wrestling podcast started called 808s and Chair Shots. The first episode will be available on June 13th. That is the weekend of the next WWE pay-per-view. Shout out to Neek. We got everything squared away. So weekend of June 13th, we'll be out there for y'all. Be on the lookout for that. Be good to go.
Me, new podcast. Me. Go, man, for sure. Now, tweet us with questions throughout the week at Full Sport Press. Don't forget to comment and give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on the YouTube page, on the iTunes page. Please rate and subscribe, but more importantly, don't forget to tell a friend.
To tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
To tell a friend.
That the revolution will be podcasted. And before we get started with the first half, Wheezy, you have a Yellow Box of Cheerios Award recipient for the listeners.
Abdul, this week's award recipient is a Twitter user named Lexi.
That's right. That's right. Twitter user Lexi Seals went on Twitter and started a campaign to get Mac McGlone to commit to Texas Tech. Uh-oh. She tweeted, and I quote, "If Mac commits to Texas Tech, I will give everyone that liked this post $5. Well, that post went viral and got 25,000 retweets. Spoiler alert. Do some quick math on that, Coach. Mac McGlone signed with Texas Tech the day after over UNC, Wake Forest, Auburn, and Memphis. Lexi quickly deleted her account. Reparations are due, Lexi. We're looking for you. We need those $5. FSP, we put in that retweet, so we need that. We need something on that. Did you guys know that Mac McGlone's cousin is the rapper Riff Raff? First cousin.
Know that.
Did not know that, but makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, 125,000 though, for sure.
125,000, yeah, man. So, Lexi, where you at? We need those reparations. $5, we got to pay for some stuff here at FSP, man. You definitely like that retweet.
Send that 25 to FSP, man.
100%, man. Weezy, what we sending this out on?
We send snail mail.
Snail mail for that?
Yeah.
That's something light. Yeah,
I ain't going to use my Prime for that.
Yeah, because we had people out here, you know, on people's moms. You know, that yellow box of Cheerios is getting crazy. So stuff like that, you're right. We can snail mail that thing. Yeah,
and then Weezy has a whole bunch of money and 3 credit cards, apparently. So, I mean, why are we tripping on $5 for
it? Planning account. Planning, you know.
Also a great point. You guys ready to get started the first half?
Let's do it. Let's
go. The first half is underway. Full Sport Press.
First half, the hottest sports news of the past week, like we do each and every week here at the Full Sport Press podcast. Before we get started, I am J-Ho.
It's your boy, Big Jeff.
I'm Weezy. What do you do?
It's your man, Coach Locke.
Locke, where can they find you on social media, my brother?
Man, nothing has changed. Locke underscore the underscore great. That's T-H-A on Twitter and IG.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Jeff?
J-Easley84 across all social media platforms.
Fat. Where you at, Weezy?
I'm FSP underscore Weezy on IG, and I'm at How Weezy on Twitter. I love
him. Yeah, you are. 100%. And I'm J-Hove on Instagram and Twitter. Have a conversation with me on Twitter. My mentions have been pretty light, so I mean, I got to ramp some shit up. And you know what I mean? People been nice to me this week. I got used to being a villain. Jeff, I turned heel. I got used to it. LeBron won. He couldn't take being a villain. I think I was all right with the villain shit.
I'm just glad it eased off for you a little bit. It was rough for you, but that one week.
Yeah, it was rough. And it's youtube.com/FullSportPress. You can check out the entire simulcast here. Make sure that you go in and subscribe. Give us some likes. We got the giveaway coming in June, so game on that. Let's kick it off, man. NFL talk. The Chiefs have officially started the process of getting a long-term deal done with quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now, many have suggested that he'll be the first player to crack right around $40 million per year for the Chiefs. The process of getting Mahomes committed through 2026 is the main priority of the entire franchise. Is Patrick Mahomes worth $40 million per year, guys?
Yes, he is, for sure. If all the accolades he has, MVP, Super Bowl, his earliest career, if he's not worth it, who is? We've seen that majority of the time, you're not going to go too far if you don't have a pretty good quarterback. So he deserves it. I'm all for giving him the money.
I second what Locke says. Man, you come in, it's your third year in the league. Your first year, you didn't play. Second year, you went MVP. And your third year, you went Super Bowl MVP. Pay the man.
Just give him the checkbook. Whatever you want, just take it. Just leave a little money so we can pay other people. But you get whatever you want. You deserve it.
You mentioned this last week, Jeff, that Pat Mahomes is going to break the bank when his time is due. I really think that Pat is going to be paid exactly what he wants, but I think he'll take a pay cut, man, because they will be in salary cap hell if they give him 40 a year. They need to meet in the middle right around 33. Mahomes made it clear that he wants to leave enough money on the table to get players around him. Those Super Bowl shits that we spoke on earlier, the MVPs won't happen if you don't have players around you. So, but this deal will set the table for Dak, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson. So, I think we have to get ready for Pat Mahomes to shock the world. I think he's smart enough to make that decision.
And he's young enough. he's, you know, this is year three, right? Right, going into year four, excuse me. So he, and he's young enough to where if he takes the pay cut for this deal here and keeps his play somewhat closer than now, he's not going to have a great season like that second year all the time or Super Bowl MVPs. But as long as he maintains top five QB in the league, they'll give him good faith money on the second deal, on the third deal, excuse me, at the end, towards the end of his career, give him the big boy signing bonus and things like that.
100%.
I got a question. How long did that prolong Andy Reid's career, coaching career?
Oh, it gave him at least another 3 years.
Five?
Easily.
Yeah, for sure.
Easily. Okay. Especially with all the weapons that he has around him, like, yeah, like Jay mentioned earlier. We know Andy Reid is a great offensive coach. You know, he can just put in things you don't really see. He's gotten over that hump because the knock was he can't win the Super Bowl. Now he's got that off his back. So now it's just he can just go out there and coach with ease now.
House money. All right, let's move on to a sport we don't talk about a lot on FSP. The National Hockey League announced this week they plan on returning to play the rest of their 2019-2020 season. So here's what's going to happen. They got a couple of modified changes to their format. Highlighted by, they're going to have 24 teams will return to play, and they're going to vie for Lord Stanley's Cup in two hub cities. So we're going to do like this. The regular season is done. Don't even worry about that. So instead of having to play in for those 8 spots and 7 spot positions, 24 teams are going to resume play, top 12 from each conference, and they're going to fight out for the Stanley Cup at the end of July. Is this a big deal or small deal for sports guys?
I think this is huge, man. The NHL will be on center stage, something that they usually aren't used to. Usually by the time that the NHL playoffs come on, baseball's rolling. Of course, the NBA is in full swing. If you're hockey fans, you're just happy to see 24 teams and getting some residuals in your hockey life because, man, hockey has never been on a stage like this, and it's going to be really great for hockey.
Especially with you're adding 8 more teams that would typically be in your playoff because normally they only take 8 from each side. So you only have 16, so that you're going to have 24 now is going to give you more teams and more chance to see more hockey for sure, and then you're going to have more games. So that's a big deal for the NHL in itself, just being able to put more teams in the playoffs.
I mean, I congratulate hockey. They took a step and they made a decision and going forward with it through this whole – and I think that's what means the most during this whole coronavirus, even with the big companies like Amazon. They didn't take a step back. They said, well, all right, we're going to do this and roll with it, and then made that man trillions of dollars. Football didn't take a step back. We're going to roll with the draft, keep going, everything going, and it's they're still making money. At the end of the day, this we got to have sports. We got to have sports. They got these players have a job, and this is the first time where I think players really feel like, man, shit, we got a job. We got to go out there and play to make money. They got to work, you know what I'm saying, to get these checks.
So moving on, Forbes released their annual list of highest paid athletes like they always do. And we have a different woman sitting atop the list, not named Serena Williams. Who is it that you ask? It's Naomi Osaka, tennis player, young tennis player, 22 years old. She brought in $37.4 million this past year, which broke the record previously held by who? Serena Williams. Now, Naomi was 29th overall on this list, who was led overall at number one by Roger Federer, who had $106 million brought in 1 year. Are you surprised that Naomi was the one that was top of this list when it comes to female athletes?
No, not at all. I mean, she's marketable. She's young. You know, she's dating a rapper right now. So, in turn, a lot of the things that move the needle, she's doing all of that. Naomi Osaka, man, is in a situation where she can capitalize off it and kind of pick up where Serena left off and also Maria Sharapova. The thing is, she has to win, though. Like Sharapova not winning, Sharapova made so much money just because, you know, she was the it girl, tall, beautiful soccer, not soccer player, but a tennis player. But at the same time, now you have Osaka coming in and can do that. She just win. She doesn't win matches, a lot of championships, things of that nature. If not, it'll be lost in the sauce.
Hey, I see you, boy. I see you. That's all I was going to say. I'm going to leave it alone after that.
Hey, he better keep her close. And what he needs to do, he needs to drop that YBN shit that he got going on.
He got to get rid of them.
He got to get rid of them. He got to get rid of those guys. Cut the fat meat.
You and your lady at this point.
Hey, like we talked about last week, you know, sometimes as you get up higher, you know, you gotta, you know what I'm saying? Be stay cool with your people, be like, hey, I can't take you over here all the way.
Her DM's popping, I know that. Her DM's is popping.
What?
No, yeah.
Come on. I'm just telling you.
Okay, we're gonna move on. We're gonna move on. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're gonna move on. Okay, so Rip Hamilton was appearing on the All the Smoke podcast this week. That's his podcast with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. That's a good listen if you got time to check that out. See your favorite players in very open and candid atmosphere, I'm gonna say. Rip Hamilton believes that his Pistons, during their magical run when they won their one championship, he believes those Pistons would have won 3 championships if they would have drafted Carmelo Anthony and not Darko. Quick history lessons for people who don't remember what went down for the Darko Milicic pick. The Pistons were coming off a 50-win season and an appearance in the Eastern Conference Championship. Made a trade, got Otis Thorpe out of there, somehow got an unprotected draft pick, and it was the number 2 pick in the draft, I believe. Yeah, number 2 pick in the draft. Chad Ford, then writer for ESPN, was just – taken aback by Darko, saying he was a once-in-a-lifetime talent. You've never seen a player run the floor as Darko did, play the 3-4 or the 5, and the Pistons and Joe Dumars bit the apple and did not draft the generational talent that is Carmelo Anthony. And as you see, that Pistons run stopped after 1 championship and a 2nd finals appearance. Now, guys, do you believe Rip Hamilton in his way of saying that the Pistons may have won at least 3 chips if they would have drafted the great Carmelo Anthony?
When you initially hear this, it sounds crazy. But like you said, if you think about it, they beat the Lakers 4-1 in 04. They went right back in 05 and lost to the Spurs 3-4. So if you got Melo on that team, he might be able to sway that 1 game. You never know. So that could be 2 right there. Now, 3's pushing it. You know, that next year in 06, they lost in the conference finals to the Heat 2-4. And then the following year, in 07, they lost to the Cavs in the conference finals 2-4. So it's not as crazy as it sounds when you first hear it if you look at what they did and if you put Melo on those teams. Mostly, I would say they probably would have won 2, though. I don't know if they would have 3-peated, but I could see them beating the Spurs in 05 if you have Melo on their team instead of Darko.
I don't think he was telling a lie at all. You get a young Melo right there. When Melo was being Melo, and he can come to that team and be free, and he had to be no leader or nothing on that team, and just shoot the ball and get his buckets. He already had a leader in Rasheed Wallace, and he had a leader in Chauncey Billups, and he had a real, and they had a good system, and they had all Melo had to do was go shoot the ball and not play defense.
You got to remember, this is when Melo took his team in Denver to the playoffs his rookie year, right, in the Western Conference. Melo was a dog. This is before the league changed to the open format that it is right now, positionless basketball. When you had players like Melo then that could get a bucket on whoever was in front of them, that was at a premium. Like Melo, he gets crapped on right now because of how the league looks at him. But young Melo, Braids Melo, Denver Melo, that was something to watch, man. And you get to have that guy as an ad, like as somebody as just an add-on. He doesn't have to be the guy to do anything every night. You put that in Detroit, and then you can move Tayshaun to the bench and run with the second unit as a defender and can play it, and then and maybe in clutch moments as well. And that could have been amazing to watch, but they overthought it.
I think 100% the narrative would have been different about LeBron James and Melo. There's no way that those Bron teams beat that Detroit team. There's no way, because it's so many players on that one team. It was, you can kind of let people's careers go out the way that they want to go to. Chauncey wouldn't have to shoot the ball as much. Rip wouldn't have to shoot the ball as much. And you got Rasheed down there is in a different situation. At the time when Rasheed was playing, Rasheed was a top 5 power forward center, whatever position he played for them in the entire NBA. And everybody, I know people listen saying Melo doesn't play defense. Before Rip Hamilton got to Detroit, he didn't play in defense. Chauncey Billups didn't play any defense in Boston or Minnesota, wherever the hell he was at. That team made people play defense, and I think Melo would have transitioned and played that type of defense that Tayshaun was playing, but not at the level of Tayshaun. Tayshaun's top 5 defender in the entire NBA, but it would have been a different narrative of Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James, and I think that is what we were robbed of for sure.
Yeah, it would have been a whole different Melo because he's coming into a team – full of leaders. full of people with experience. Instead of going to a team where he had to be the leader, had to be experienced.
Yeah. Ben Wallace was the person that came out and said that we were fine with the team we got. They were. And they contended for a long time. But as far as going further, their careers going further, Carmelo Anthony would have been a perfect addition instead of Darko Milicic, for sure.
They fucked up. It was a bad pick.
Oh, man. You guys ready to get started with halftime, man?
Let's go, man.
We're at the midway point. Enjoy all of the halftime festivities.
Halftime, in case you missed it. Kobe Bryant, man. It was the year 2002. During the NBA Finals, Kobe Bryant has made himself some unexpected enemies. Supposedly, Weezy, a New Jersey mob tried to give the late Lakers legend food poisoning right before the finals. Now, the rumor came out that a LA talk show revealed. Apparently, people kept calling the hotel after the rumor got out to ask about a burger. Kobe Bryant ordered a bacon cheeseburger from a Sacramento Hyatt hotel. That night, the hotel delivered 1,700 dishes, which included 300 hamburgers. Now, Lakers trainer Gary Vitti apparently was firm that the poison was in the burger. As per Vitti, Bryant started vomiting and had diarrhea for 6 hours after he ate that burger. Vitti said that he actually wanted to eat Mexican, but ended up canceling that because he didn't want to fall sick. So he added that surely the New Jersey mob was behind the poison burger. Yeah. Well, whoever tried to mess up Bryant surely fell flat on their face. The Lakers crushed the Brooklyn Nets in that matchup. Bryant must have used the principles from his mama mentality. He went on to average 27 in a 4-game sweep against the Nets. Good try, not good enough for Kobe Bryant.
100%. Yeah, I totally believe that story.
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
I had some experience like that. I remember when the Rams came here a couple years ago, and they stayed at the Omni Hotel. Oh shit! And they stayed at the Omni Hotel, right? My bad. They stayed at the Omni Hotel.
Nobody wants to tell this story.
Hey, yeah. Somebody, you ain't supposed to tell this story, dog.
Yeah, they stayed at the Omni Hotel, and Todd Gurley had ordered some chicken wings, and they came out to the cafeteria. And this is when the Titans was doing really good, and the Rams was doing really good. Todd Gurley was having a crazy year, and they said, "Man, I'm gonna make these wings extra hot." Such. I said, "No, let me make these wings. You're not gonna sabotage him like that." He's on my fantasy team too, by the way. You're not gonna sabotage him like that. And so something like that happens for real. I totally believe that stuff like that happens.
Wow. Hey, man, we need that. That's the insight we talking about, Weezy. Yeah. There we go.
You pod. So, that's next level pod.
That's next level pod, bro. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Are y'all surprised with as much money these pro teams have that they don't travel with the personal chef and they don't make arrangements with these hotels saying, look, our own chef is going to cook food. Gonna be available 24 hours. So if a player wants something, they can just call their chef. But hey, I want this. He go down to the kitchen. He whip it up. That way, you always avoid things like that. Are y'all surprised that we haven't seen a team come out and do something like this?
They do that now. They have to, because it was so many people that were getting food poisoning, getting sick in certain situations. That's why they lowered the price of per diem. So yeah, a lot. Yeah. To answer they had to.
That does happen too, a lot, because. I mean, it's going to cost you a little bit more because, you know, you're going to come. But anyways, because I remember when what's the boxer from Nashville? Caleb Plant. When he had his match at the Nashville, his personal chef came and worked in our kitchen to cook all his food.
Makes sense. I'm surprised it took him this long to do that, to be honest, because they're not missing that money paying no personal chef. They got these teams got plenty of money. They're not going to miss that by putting one person to travel with the team all road games. They're not missing that little money. So I'm surprised it took them this long to actually do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was needed, though, man. Shout out to Kobe Bryant. Push through that, man. Push through that. Still got that W.
It was never in doubt against that Nets team.
I mean, but still, it don't matter, Jeff. Still average damn near 30. Like, old Shaq's team. Kobe averaged damn near 30.
They didn't play nobody because they played Philly.
Oh, man. You guys ready to get started? How do you average 30?
Okay, Jay. All right.
He's sharing it.
No. He averaged 30 in the finals. I get that. But leading up to that, all through the season, all through the playoffs, that's Shaq's team.
He averaged 25 through that playoffs, coach.
What's Shaq average?
I don't know. I don't
more than 25. More than 25.
You guys ready to get started the second half?
Yeah, there we go.
The second half is underway. Full Sport Press.
Second half, we are doing more topics, man. This is volume 3. We're starting things off with some NFL talk. The NFL owners on Thursday approved an extension of their deal with Electronic Arts, continuing a relationship that existed over 30 years. It was also recently approved by the NFL Players Association. Now, the Madden franchise will continue to be a part of the gaming universe for at least the 6 years. The current contract was set to expire in 2021. That extension means that EA Sports will continue to be the league's exclusive publisher of simulation football games through 2026. The money equals out to be $1 billion for the owner. Damn! And $500 million for the players. Is this a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
2K Sports at Bay, another contract length. You know, they were trying their best to get into the game and, you know, see what they can do again. And, just stick with basketball. and try the best you can do. They ruined the WWE game, but we ain't going to talk about that. But, they ruined WWE game. 2K ruined that. But Madden is off limits. Well, NFL is off limits again to 2026.
But the money that's coming in, we said $1 billion?
Yeah, $1 billion for the owners and $500 million for the players.
That's unheard of. That's crazy.
Madden saw its largest increase in gameplay, mainly due to the fact of the coronavirus. We notice now we have an entire Madden league that started up late April, early May, and now we're right into our second year into that Madden. They got to fix the damn servers. I know that. They got to fix the damn servers. Mm-hmm. But once they do that, man, Madden will come out early August with the first look of their game. Lamar Jackson will be the cover artist for sure.
Trust.
I don't see anybody ever taking over the NFL football other than Madden. It's just they continue to do it the right way. And like Jeff said, every time another company tries to do it, it's never enough. I just don't see nobody or no game company taking over the NFL and being the go-to NFL game anytime soon. So with The Last Dance ending a few weeks ago, we still have sports outlets, including us, talking about The Last Dance, players giving their opinions about what's going on. Well, something has come up that has been mentioned on The Last Dance, but telling another side of the story. They have tape of Michael Jordan saying that he would not play if Isaiah Thomas played on the Dream Team. Now, Jordan admittedly on The Last Dance said he had nothing to do with that. He did say that he was not the only one that had problems with Isaiah Thomas, but he said that he did not be the person to say he was not going to be on the team if he played. Well, Jack McCollum released audio, and on the audio, it says, Rod Thorne called me, Jordan said. I said, Rod, I won't play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team. He assured me, he said, you know what? Coach Chuck Daly doesn't want Isaiah, so Isaiah is not going to be part of the team. Now, from that, we hear that also his own coach, Chuck Daly, didn't want him on the team. How big of a deal is this tape being released?
Man, hey, listen, tape's ruining a lot of shit. Time has basically been able to heal, like, a lot of feuds that we saw, Shaq and Kobe, even Magic versus Isaiah. But we assumed that this one, because Isaiah had came out and said, oh, yeah, we've been friendly. But that was on one side. Mike never banged with dude. The entire NBA didn't bang with that dude. And you know how bad you got to be if your own coach is like, I don't want to coach this dude unless we're in the NBA. So please keep him away. So in turn, it says more about Isaiah Thomas than it does about Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas just not a likable guy, y'all. He's just not. Jordan just don't like him. And if it was just Jordan alone, it makes sense, but it's not. His own coach didn't want to coach with him, dude. It's no secret. Jordan said he didn't want to play with that dude. Now, you know what I mean? He might be higher than now because it's 2020 and Twitter's around and Instagram's around, but Jordan said that he started, I'm not playing if he ain't playing, and he didn't play.
And I'm going to take the whole other side on this. Jordan controlled the narrative. There was no the only press that was able to go against Jordan was Sports Illustrated by saying he was bad at baseball. That was it. Back then, you didn't want to make Jordan mad because you wanted to keep Jordan coming to you, giving you stories, because he was the one that moved the needle. Those people, now Isaiah was an easy kicking, you know, because he was the bad. They was the bad boy, the Pistons. You know, they beat up on the Lakers. They beat up on the Celtics. They beat up on Mike. So if we had, if this same situation played out right now with the way the world works right now with 24/7 news cycles, this would have been debunked a long time ago, because you would see Mike really was the jerk in all this. Like,
come on, Jeff. You're on coach. We on a team. And you on, come on, man. And your own coach don't want to coach you?
That hasn't been confirmed. Because I read something right after. No, hear me out. I read something right after the Rod Thorne tape leaked that said, Rod said that to ease Mike's concerns, that when he was the only one saying he didn't want to play with Isaiah. You see what I'm saying? If everybody, because there's two places in this world Isaiah can go and get treated like royalty. It's Chicago and Detroit. And so those places are saying, this is horse. This is horse crap. Like, no, it wasn't Chuck Davis saying he didn't want to coach him. It was dude saying that to ease Mike.
And what's crazy about it, once again, it's a person involved in this that we would never be able to hear from. Just like with Jerry Krause, we'd never be able to hear from him. We'd never be able to hear from Chuck Daly saying, validating if this is true or not, if he said it. So that's another bad thing. And also, now with this recording coming out, it's going to make people start feeling like, you know what, maybe Horace Grant isn't lying.
Yeah.
Maybe so-and-so isn't lying, because the tape is saying totally opposite what Mike is saying. It's discrediting what Mike is saying. So it's going to be a lot of things now. People going to start saying, well, you know what, maybe Mike ain't telling the truth about all the stuff he's saying, which everybody knows he controlled the narrative of this story. We know that. He said that. We all know that. But it is going to make people start saying, you know, maybe we need to check Mike a little more often.
Nobody check Mike. Nobody fact check Mike.
Michael Jordan is a jerk, and he's the best player in the world. How you going to deal with him? So what, you take it or leave it? What you going to do? Put the best player in the world on your team and a jerk, or not have the best player in the world on the team and let him be a jerk?
But, bro, there's no way that your coach is. Well, I would much rather coach Michael Jordan and the rest of these 11 basketball players, not my own player. No way.
That's just, again, what I read was Chuck never said that. That was just used to ease Mike. But, you know, Mike played basketball. He also played baseball. Let's talk a little MLB. All right. MLB is trying to put together a new safety plan so they can bring the former national pastime, depending on who you ask, it might be football, back to the front lines. So now they're going to ban high fives, fist bumps, and spitting. If you're familiar with baseball, you know guys like to have their gum, their chew, or whatever, or their dip, and they can't have tobacco anymore, their dipping stuff. But now you can't spit. So Colorado Rockies star Charlie Blackman told Sports Illustrated, I'm 100% going to spit. It's ingrained in my playing. I'm 100% going to spit. It's ingrained in my play, the way I play the game, whether or not I'm dipping or I'm chewing gum, I'm still going to spit. I have to occupy my mind, have to occupy my time. It's like putting me on autopilot. Guys, is the MLB still going to spit?
Yeah, they're going to spit. You know, you have people that have their pregame rituals. They have their rituals when they're going up the bat. You have players that are superstitious. They're going to chew sunflower seeds. They're going to spit sunflower seeds. You know, they chew gum. They're going to spit. They outside. I understand why they're trying to do this, because of all the corona. If you have a player that their ritual is, while I'm walking up the bat, I have sunflower seeds. I spit them out right before I go in the bat, or after every pitch, I spit sunflower seeds. They going to do that, because in sports, as we know, when you have your ritual, if you're superstitious, you always will stick to that script no matter what's going on.
I think this is – the MLB has dropped the ball during this whole pandemic, man. Like that game is easily can be played with social distancing. And to worry about spitting at a time like this is stupid. That's like telling basketball players, don't wipe the bottom of your shoes, you know, more – to get good grip on the floor. It's dumb.
What they're trying to do is have a restricted area for you to do that. How are they going to police that? I mean, I understand. It's just ingrained in baseball, man. Multiple pitchers go about doing things like that. Batters, hell, even the managers. It's a major part of baseball. If it would be similar to NBA players getting rid of mouthpieces, situations like that, man. You literally can't do it. And with tobacco, especially with sunflower seeds, I understand. You are 100% in droplet precautions if you are spitting out sunflower seeds or spitting out chewing tobacco, smokeless tobacco. But in turn, they can't police that, man, and nobody's going to follow those orders.
All right, let's move on to college football. Coach Brown's team, Georgia Bulldogs, in January, got a quarterback transfer by the name of Jamie Newman from Wake Forest. You know, he is be eligible immediately because he's a graduate transfer from Wake Forest. But it didn't stop there. They've added another quarterback. Weezy, your hitting team, JT Daniels from USC, is going to be a Georgia Bulldog. He missed all but one game in 2019 because of a knee injury. So he will have to attain a waiver if he wants to play immediately, which I doubt he will unless they pass that rule. But while he was there, he threw for 2,800 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions while completing 60.7% of his passes in 12 starts over 2 years. The depth chart is a little crowded in Georgia. You have Jamie Newman. You have JT Daniels. But then you have three other quarterbacks who are on scholarship. You have a senior, Stetson Bennett, redshirt freshman, Dwayne Mathis, freshman quarterback, Carson Beck, and they also got a commitment from Brock Vandergriff, who's the number five pocket passer and a number 35th player overall in the 2020 ESPN 300. How are they going to manage all these quarterbacks at the University of Georgia, and who do you see being the starter day one whenever we resume college football?
It's a cluster in Georgia. I think Steve Spurrier, we talked about this before, said if you got more than one quarterback, you don't have one quarterback. I like Brock Vandergriff. I like his name, number one. That's probably the best quarterback name in the bunch. So I'm going with him. That's what I'm right. That's going to be the starting quarterback just because of his name right there.
Daniels, man, was the other five-star quarterback in 2018. The thing is, if he was in the 2019 class, he would probably be the number one quarterback. Goes to USC, gets hurt. But in turn, him going to Georgia is a sign that Georgia is 100% joining the tide because they lost Trevor Lawrence in state to go to Clemson. Then they lost my guy, Justin Fields. And look where that got them. So, hell yeah, they're going to double down. The starting quarterback will be Jamie Newman because I don't think Daniels will get the clearance from the NCAA to play in 2020. So, you got a quarterback there with 1 year with Newman, and then you start things over with Daniels, and then the future quarterback is Jeff's guy. So, but yeah, getting burned, man, with Eason, Fields, you can't beat them, join
them. JT Daniels is the best quarterback on that roster right now. I'm trying to tell you. Five-star player.
It's funny, they got two quarterbacks on the roster from the show QB1 from Netflix, because Newman was on that show, and you have Jake Fromm was on it, so they don't have him there, but it's like they keep getting quarterbacks from that show, which is supposed to be some of the top quarterbacks in high school at the time when they record the show. But Brock Jeff, he's not going to be there this year. He has another year left. He'll be in high school. But I could see him coming in and being a starter after JT Daniels is gone, because JT Daniels is going to have 3 years left, I believe. So he'll play that year, which would be Brock's freshman year, and they'll probably redshirt him. So then JT Daniels will have two the year after that, and Brock will still have four. So I see JT being the quarterback of the future, and then Brock will step right in and take over.
Then you bring in Brock after that with the highlights that he has. Yeah, they should be fine. But with the way their quarterback situation is going prior to this, you never know what they're going to do in Georgia. That's the thing.
Hey, Jay, it don't matter anyway because Florida Gators going to win that SEC.
Oh, you better know it. We got the East, big dog. That's done. But the thing is, the transfer quarterback is the thing, man. You got to have a transfer quarterback. Look at Kyler Murray. Look at Joe Burrow, man. Back-to-back transfer QBs will resort in some type of winning situation. Kirby Smart is realizing that in the worst way, man. He's stuck with his guy, which was Jake Fromm. It ultimately got him, you know, a situation where – because they were supposed to be at least in the college football final, at least in the playoffs, dog. At least, at the very least. Jake Fromm wasn't a quarterback to do that. You know, the quarterback that did that was the quarterback you let walk out of the door in Justin Fields, who will be the number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft.
Over Trevor Lawrence, huh?
100%. Yeah, look at the numbers, Coach. Look at the numbers.
Does any of that have to do with Lamar Jackson?
Nah, because Trevor Lawrence got more rushing TDs than Justin Fields do. Nah, just a better
pass. Yeah, but who's the better runner?
Who's a better runner?
Yeah.
It's pretty close, bro. Now, trust me. Trevor Lawrence runs the ball way more than Justin Fields does.
Yeah, he does. But if I had to pick, I would still say Justin Fields is the better runner.
I think Justin Fields is a better passer, better athlete. He's just a better athlete. Yeah, nah, for sure. Just that kid's special, man. He had 43 touchdowns, one pick, y'all, until the goddamn finals.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Come on, man.
Trevor Lawrence beat Tua.
Here we go. Let's move on, yeah. Let's move on.
Trevor Lawrence beat Tua. No, Clemson beat Tua. What the hell are you talking about? That team. Why don't you get started? SEC. What
are
we doing?
Here we go.
See the SEC, though?
Huh? Here we go. It's still the ACC, though.
Hold on now.
What happened last year?
Hold on now. What you mean last year? ACC won that championship.
No. I'm talking about y'all. Because ACC was the worst Power 5 conference in all of college football.
It happens.
The SEC ain't never been the worst conference in college football.
They never let y'all be the worst.
Ever. No, because exactly. We literally.
It's been years where y'all were not y'all the best. Trash. They try to tell y'all.
They gash y'all up like y'all something. Like
LSU's, Alabama's, Florida's, Georgia's. Florida.
LSU, Alabama.
LSU won that first national championship, Jeff, since the early 2000s last year.
I'm talking about last year, Jeff. I don't talk about it. It's last year. LSU, Alabama.
Let's move
on. Georgia was good. You just said Georgia could play national championship.
I didn't say that.
We lost one. You know,
Georgia was good last year. Georgia was good
last year.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good, but it wasn't. They weren't that god that vaunted SEC. Is what I'm saying. They just were Georgia. They just were a good team.
If they lost two games, Jeff.
That's fine.
Y'all gonna be in trouble. This year, Because Tennessee gonna be good.
Tennessee's gonna be good in 2 years.
Is he gonna be good this year?
Guarantee we beat the hell out of them.
Again. Well, that's not considering them not being good.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They'll still lose five games.
If they lose five games, they're not good.
Five games is not good.
Yeah,
that's not going to be good as LSU. LSU's going to lose maybe seven games. They're going to be sorry.
I bet you that.
Nah, I ain't going to do it. But I'm telling you, they're not going to be good. And that is another show, man. Show number 319. Volume 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited about this, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate everybody listening. YouTube.com/FullSportPress. Don't forget to subscribe. Doing that giveaway soon. Stay tuned.
Get everybody. Thumbs up.
Still.
I'm a friend shirt on for a reason, man. We just together we stand, divided we fall, man. It's not a coincidence. Got my black friend shirt on.
The black friends, all black friends. Stay in the house still. Pandemic still going on. Be safe. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to tell my people, but
sure. Wash your hands.
What y'all think about
here we go.
Disney World opening back up June the 11th.
That's cool. I'm saying there's no reason for you to go, but it's cool.
Oh, okay.
People get jobs. Yeah.
I think that's how to open up sports world. If they can open back up June the 11th, gotta be sports played, man. If it's gonna be flying, riding Space Mountain. let's get some basketball on the court, man.
They're gonna be in line. They do it. They're gonna be in line.
Yeah. 100%, man.
It's gonna be two people next to each other in Disney World in the teacup. They're gonna be doing it right next to in that teacup.
All right, man. Now tweet us with questions throughout the week in Full Sport Press.
I'm just saying.
Don't forget to comment, give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on the YouTube page. On the iTunes page, please rate and subscribe. And more importantly, don't forget to tell a friend.
To tell a friend.
Weezy.
Everything paid for, baby.
Not those Jordans.
Oh, Jeff.
Everything's all gold, brother.
Low fucking blow. Like I couldn't get him.
Get the drummer song.
Your phone breaking up. The Revolution will be podcasting, man. We are out.
Out about that.
Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Thank you for listening to the Full Sport Press podcast. To catch up on prior episodes, visit the SoundCloud page. And don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend.
The Revolution will be podcasted.